Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Happy Tuesday. Today is April 28th, 2015. I'm Michelle Pichet, filling in for Jeannie, and I'm here today with Dr. Michael Rice and Dr. Tim Hayes. We warmly welcome you to the show, and thank you for choosing to be with us. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk with our host. We encourage you to call in with your comments or questions, allowing you to actively strengthen and deepen your practice. So now let's welcome Michael in support of developing our inner process of Aramaic forgiveness.
Well, thank you, young lady, and welcome back to the solid ground of America. You've been on quite a journey. Share a little bit with us. How did your trip go?
The trip was amazing. Very, very healing, very spiritual. Plenty of opportunity for deep breathing and worksheets were utilized. I had a really good opportunity to exercise my tools, let's put it that way. And it's wonderful to have a hot shower. It's ironic. I was sharing with someone the places we stayed and most of the folks there, there's hot water is not something they believe in or can afford or just have access to. And so coming back and taking a warm, hot shower and just the luxury of that is enough to bring tears to my eyes. And the gratitude that trip evoked in me in terms of our normal fat American lifestyles and what that is all about is probably taken granted from far too many people.
Cool, if you were to share one of the deepest pieces of learning that you did, what would it be?
That's a really good question. I think I had an opportunity to face some fears. And, there was one particular moment. I was working with a shaman and doing some real deep inner work, and I was really emoting a lot emotionally. I mean, water was like squirting out of my eyes, like literally. The person next to me got wet because it was like splashing out, and I was keeping a connected breath while that water was just forcibly coming out of my face. And I remember the observer in me was going, like, what is, like, that's a lot of sadness you're letting go here. And there was a particular moment, a vision of my mother came into my mind's eye, and I saw her very stoic and expressionless face, other than maybe just sternness, when she was one time sharing some child abuse of her own with me. And I recognized that her guard was so well enforced that she had no ability to get to the tender parts of that emotion and that pain that she really is holding for herself or appears to be. And I realized that I was like crying for her in a way, letting go of the emotion, whether it was hers or the emotional pieces that she passed on to me genetically, but I knew in that moment when I had that like thought and the image and sort of this like inner sense of knowing, like that's what I was actually doing, like healing both of us in that moment. And it was pretty profound. Like it was like, wow, that, like I knew what was happening. I knew I was releasing for both of us. And she isn't for whatever reason to that place maybe where she can get there, but I'll handle her both of us. Yeah.
Well, you know, you've heard us talk about in the intensives and such, one of the required faculties to develop is the ability to, when something starts to move in you, decode it so you know what it is. You know, most people, energies like that move and they're just blown out of their unconscious. Gee, I don't know what's going on or why this is happening. And it sounds like you're really, to me, that's a signal of your progress, that you're really able to tap right into what that subtle energy is that's moving and move through it. So that's pretty awesome. That's powerful. And it must have been a really powerful space of support from the shaman. That's cool. Nice.
Yes. She was an 80-year-old grandmother, indigenous, and her songs, you could tell, were intuitively driven, just channeled dance. So, and I really, it was great too, and I'm sure you remember this from Costa Rica, like the raw food availability made it so easy. I was drinking 3 and 4 young coconuts of water a day and then eating the guts and just relishing every bite and opportunity to fuel my body. So there was the vitality piece going on. And then you're right, Carrie was so loving and supportive of every moment, the friends that we met along the way, because everybody at some level knew we were sort of, you heard about this El Camino walk, this supportive journey, and we were all in it together. And it was definitely a community event, the African proverb that you share.
Sweet. Well, that's fabulous. Congratulations and welcome home.
Thank you. And continue the process. Rex wasn't on the show yesterday, but he had an amazing workshop on Sunday for 6 hours and gibbled and dabbled in every aspect of the work on breathing and forgiveness and tapping and the foods and nutrition and back again. And so it was real good to get, a good dose of workshops,
Cool. Fabulous.
Yeah. So it's nice to be hosting today. I appreciate the opportunity to get back. We called the one time from Peru, but having the daily radio show, just the access to internet was not there, and that was something I welcomed to resume as soon as I got home.
Cool. Yeah,
thanks, Michael.
Yeah, it is certainly a way to stay in touch with the energy and in touch with support, the support. And that, for me, certainly is one of the things that I really appreciate about our opportunity to have this radio show and have the archives that can help people to just continue to move through these energies. It's just such an awesome blessing for us all to have. Well, we are in the third day of the personal code evaluation process in this 20-day teacher training. And it's interesting to watch as we're going through the understanding of the personal code and all the dynamics come with it, all the processing that happens. It's pretty cool to just watch what's coming up for everybody as they move to the next level, the next level, the next level of understanding, and then get up and present it and really interact with the personal code evaluation. And for those who might not know what that is, that's an evaluation that we give people that has 10 different scales on it, that is 10 different areas of the function of one's mind that it measures, and shows where blocks might be and where gains can be made. And so it's fun to be doing that. We've got a bunch of sample evaluations, and people are going through it.
and just really getting a sense of what the balance of the numbers mean and such, so that they'll be able to work with people with that evaluation. So that's pretty neat. And then we'll actually finish that out tonight, and in the morning we'll start with the 9-day teacher training. So we're rocking along. Lots of energy. Lots and lots of energy moving. And it was interesting yesterday. Now, let's see. Did we get to talk about the idea of Rachma being the key yesterday? We did talk about that, didn't we? Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty cool. We've got a gentleman here who speaks Arabic, and so we are, of course, presenting the Aramaic ideas, and then he presented some of the Arabic ideas that have, come out of the Aramaic, and pretty cool to see how they fit together and how they come together. So we're just having a really sweet time with moving through layers and levels and getting to interact with everybody. And beyond that, Dr. Tim, how are you today, sir?
I'm well. I'm doing quite well, and I would like to echo the comment of Michelle saying this radio show time is a blessing, and having the community is a blessing, and having the opportunity to learn it at deeper and deeper levels is gracing my life. And so, I suppose my offering for today would be to just once again tell people that the benefits of deciding to share this work with others is beyond measure, beyond words, and enormous. And I would just encourage people, if they don't already have a support group in their area, to start one. It takes so little, it isn't even funny, and it's what it yields in terms of positive impact on one's life is, as I said, beyond words. So we have a support group coming up again tonight. I'm looking forward to that and hearing the reactions to and benefits from last week's work with Dale. And that's my offering for today. If you don't already have a support group in your area, do everybody that you know, including yourself, a huge favor and start one. And Michael can tell you how.
Yeah, well, actually, Jeannie's actually better at that than I am. And, of course, she's put a huge quantity of material on the website if you are interested in starting a support group and kind of try to get a handle or work toward getting a handle on that. If you just click on the support group link, then it'll open up. There are people's experiences of, the pitfalls they fell into and the things they learned. And so support for putting that together and, and recognizing that you don't have to be an expert at this work. You can be a total neophyte and choose to facilitate a support group. And what you'll find is that you will grow and you will learn as you interact with a support group, and it will accelerate your process immeasurably if you actually do that. So if you jump on the website and look at support group information, it's called Mindshifter Support Groups, then there'll be a space for you to learn about the process. And then, of course, the reason why we're here is to answer questions about any and every aspect of this work, including how can we support you getting a support group started. So it's a powerful, powerful process to engage in. And, it's 40-some years ago that I realized that the most powerful way to be a full-time student was to be a full-time teacher of the work. And so that's where I moved my life and where I've taken things. And, now we're moving it around the globe to more and more cities, more and more countries, and more places. So it's pretty exciting to watch how the synthesis of material is coming together and how it's serving people. So much, much appreciation for that, for sure. So, Michelle, anything happening in the chat room or anybody with a hand up in the phone queue? Are you mute challenged, Michelle?
No, I'm switching between screens. But, yes, we actually have somebody here with their hand up. I've turned down their mic. Area code 781, you're on the air. Who do we have and where are you calling from?
Hi, it's Ron Blakeney calling. Hi, Michael.
Hey there, young man. I haven't heard from you in 24 hours.
I know. I'm standing outside of Fenway Park now. I have a business event. I have a business event at the ball game tonight. So it starts this afternoon, and I pulled out because I took some time out in the. I'm in the lobby of a building so I could talk to you.
Great.
Keep it moving. Keep the energy moving. So,
So how could we support you?
I want to share. I took out a worksheet this morning, and I really spent some time with each section of it, as I've done many times. And I, right when it talked to reality in the upper left-hand corner as being the perceptual output of my mind, I reminded myself that that includes feeling as well, sensations, and that.
Yes.
And I began to go through searching for what the right 1A was for me. And I came up with my existence, my relationship to others. And what I came up with was my cultural situation. And it got into feeling threatened and insecure as I thought about the work that I had to do and the place I was going today. And I went through the worksheet and the insight, the goal that I wanted was to feel loved in my cultural situation. And this related to when I say cultural situation, I mean the different roles that I take on as a father, a husband, a working person, and so forth. And when it came down to the end, it seemed to me to be an energetic match, a pattern match for just your basic vanilla place in the family, from when I was this high, just kind of what being upset with my role in the family system, going from being an awake, alive, spiritual being to having to play different roles in a family system and meet some of those limitations. And so that was the work I did this morning, and I'd love to hear anything you have to say about it, if anything.
Well, that sounds like moving through the times in your life when you started to identify perhaps with genetic components of what, of course, we've called the non-being self, that the true being, if we hold a newborn child, we know what the true being is that we are, and then if we have to limit ourselves to an image in our mind as a body and, you know, whatever role we have either chosen or through residence been forced to play, or seemingly forced to play. And, you know, the beauty of the situation is that when we go back to being, there's this wonderful faculty that we have that no other creature that we know of has, and that's the faculty of grace, and that is the ability to change our minds anytime we want. That we have that ability. And so if I find myself in loss because I've given up my direct connection to love to play out the role of, you know, the good son, the bad son, the troublesome son, whatever it happens to be, then there is a certain loss of connectedness to the presence of love that we are. And that loss is one of the core issues that we each need to work through, because it is a moment, you know, when you realize that, you know, everything that we've heard described, let's say the Christian mystics talked about this bliss that they would live in or that they would touch into, or, you know, in the East, they talked about nirvana or this totally connected space of love that we're designed to live there. That's our starting point. And, you know, if one of those identities that's in the mind from the genetics and reinforced from the environment is, you know, the angry child, then in order to take that role on, we fall from grace. We fall from the truth of who we are as love and start to experience ourselves as that pr- program in the body-mind unit, that image that we've been taught to think that we are as a body. And it's like one of the biggest core pieces of work is to give up the rage at having had to move out of the truth of who we are into an image that we were supposed to fulfill and, you know, leave half of ourselves behind. So the natural state is this state of bliss, of ecstasy, and to buy into a picture of something less than that means that we give that state up. And in feeling forced to give that state up, you know, it usually happens because of messages from a power person, and then we identify with the picture in our minds that comes from those messages, and we think that's who we are. And the moment of having given up literally this extreme bliss and extreme ecstasy to buy into the hostility and fear-based self is a moment of some of the deepest pain we'll ever experience. And working through that pain is a major, major piece of work. So it sounds like maybe you're approaching a new level of your process and ready to maybe get back and deal with that one. And over the years, I've only seen 3 or 4 people ever deal with that one.
I am intimately familiar with the teaching from codependence to independence when you talk about that. And
right.
I have been playing with this for a long time. I remember going through a long depression that lasted about 6 months that I ascribed to doing a lot of work and maybe even taking on some things that I wasn't really prepared to process and doing it.
Right.
But yeah, this is really, it felt almost residual. It felt almost like this is what I get to reclaim. I'm not sure where to go with it from here, except just to breathe in your words and keep taking one step at a time.
Well, and, you know, it's kind of like when we come out of being and go into that non-being self, it's like, you know, funneling down into something that we're not, that's so much smaller than what we are. And to embrace the pain of having done that, because we go from ecstasy to pain, literally.
Yes.
From
it's agonizing.
Physical ecstasy to physical pain, and to allow that process to reverse and re-embrace the ecstasy and learn to forgive and let go of those painful memories that really have nothing to do with who we are, but became part of the false self.
That's exciting, because I've been noticing some like agony in doing some of the reading and just some of the work, you know, just sitting down to do it and keeping myself at the desk when everything in my body says this hurts. And there didn't seem to be an explanation for why it hurts so much. Just to sit and read text, or just to sit and write a worksheet, or just to sit and write thoughts. And your words seem to give me some context for that.
Yeah.
Or do you think I'm in left field? I mean, I want to know.
I think you're right on track. You're right on track, and what you do is you keep doing all of the above. You breathe. You keep forgiving. You let yourself feel. You know, that moment where the truth of who we are is given up, and we buy into the non-being self is the moment, I think, of the most intense rage that anyone could ever experience. And it's a moment that has to be moved back through and let go of.
Okay.
And so, you know, breathe, do all of the above, just keep the energy moving.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for being there today, too.
absolutely delighted. Tell me, remind me what age Grace is now. How many times has she circled around the planet now?
10 times now.
10 times, wow. I think she was 2 last time I saw her.
Yeah, that makes sense. She was probably 2 when you actually saw her in person, yes. And boy, has she has just been so blessed by this work, and she is something else. Boy, I am excited for the planet to get a load of her as she grows.
Yay, nice.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, nothing. Well, I was worried about background noise because I'm near the ballpark.
Now, there's a little bit of noise there, but it's no big deal. One of the things about that moment where we give up that direct, just absolutely sensational connection with love to buy into the sensation of fear and hostility and the disconnect that occurs is that it's the moment of perhaps the most intense rage one will ever experience, and I believe that it is literally the cause of every disease we'll ever experience, every relationship crash we'll ever have, every pain and trauma throughout one's life is focused back in that moment. And for most people, it happened so far back in memory that there's no recall of it whatsoever. And so to allow yourself recall and to stay conscious in the presence of that kind of pain surfacing is a major piece of work.
Yay.
Yay.
Sure, there's some stuff there, but here I am. Here I am continuing
Yay.
To do it.
Cool. Awesome.
All right.
Well,
thank
we'll
you,
look
Michael.
Forward to getting to see you this summer and getting to support you boosting to the next level.
Thank you, Michael. Well,
okay.
I'm going to go
Blessings.
On mute
Lots
now.
Of love.
Bye-bye.
You okay,
too.
Take care. Bye-bye. Awesome. Well, young lady, anybody else with a hand up or anybody in the chat room with a question or a thought for us that we should be aware of?
No, not right now. No hands up. So certainly if you'd like to call in, we've got over half hour left in the show, 646-200-4169. But I was thinking about that call. That was great dialogue. If someone were wanting to approach that piece more directly, what type of mind shifter would you suggest?
Well, probably, moving in the direction of it's safe and healing for me to touch into the truth of who I am and throw off the chains that bind me to anything else. Most people don't realize that they're in a prison of that experience. There's if you look back on my Facebook posts, and I'm going to post this one regularly, and I talk about the idea that, people don't know they're in a prison. And this is just such a great example of the way the mind works. And there's this guy who's got a really nice-looking German, I think it's a German Shepherd, and he's going to let it outside. And, of course, the dog is used to there being a front door and then a glass of a second door, the glass... I want to say a screen door, but obviously it's a glass door. But the insulated door with a glass see through glass in it. And
Got it.
So this guy opens the solid front door, and the glass door all of a sudden, I guess it broke or whatever, all of a sudden has no glass in it. And so he opens the door and tells the dog to go outside. The dog kind of wagging its tail, is wiggling around. It's like, yeah, I want to go out, but you've got to open the other door for me. And the dog won't go out through the door that's it's used to having glass in it, but the glass is gone. The dog doesn't know the difference, so it just stands there wagging its tail till the guy opens the door. So the guy opens the door for the dog. And then, you know, the dog goes and does what it does, and it comes back, and it won't come through the door with, you know, no glass. I mean, it's just wide open. It won't come through. It waits for the guy to open the door again. So he lets the dog out again, only this time he walks out through the door with no glass in it and opens the door from the outside for the dog to come out. So he walks through the door and the dog waits for him to open the door that isn't there. You know, the glass isn't there. And then when the dog comes to come back in, he steps outside through the door. So he's in the house. He steps outside through the door that isn't there, the glass that isn't there, to open the door for the dog to come in, who won't walk through the place where the dog thinks there's supposed to be glass, but there isn't any. And so, you know, it's such a great demonstration of people, once they accept a set of ideas, they live in a prison, and they don't know they're in that prison. This dog has accepted the idea that there's glass. He can't go out through that door unless somebody opens it.
Right.
And there's no glass, so he can go in and out all he wants, but the dog won't go in and the dog won't go out, even though this guy demonstrates there's no glass there because he steps through the, you know, through the opening to open the door for the dog, but the dog won't go in until the frame is opened by the guy to step in, mm-hmm. because that's what the dog holds in its mind. And so many people live in the prison of thoughts like that. Oh, I can't do this until this happens. I can't do that because that's a limit in my mind. And we buy so much. Just, you know, how many areas of life does that apply? Oh, I can't be love in the presence of someone who's criticizing me. Well, why not? Well, because, you know, the door's closed. I can't express positive feelings towards someone who's in sadness or fear. Well, why not? Well, because you can't do that. And, you know, all the things that we bought, to me, this little, you know, 2-minute video is such a great example of what we buy and what isn't true. And when we give up what isn't true, you know, you walk through the door that isn't there, but your mind thought that it was. And so there are all kinds of behaviors that we really, truly get to change when we really, truly start to let go or forgive. And remembering that forgiveness is how you remove something from your mind that doesn't belong in your mind. And our thesis, our offering is, of course, that if you hold a newborn child, you get to experience a human life. And nothing other than that awesome presence of love that is human belongs in our field. But if we buy it, then we act according to it. So this dog acts according to his experience that there's a piece of glass that he can't walk through, and somebody's got to open the door for him. And so many people function out of that. And as we forgive, the whole idea of forgiveness is the removal of those things that exist in our minds that control so much of our behaviors. Go ahead.
No, it resonates that experiment they did with the kitchens and with the vertical lines and the horizontal lines.
Yes.
Or a flea circus. I think that's how they trained the fleas in the flea circus. a jar with a lid on it. I want to read it back. It's safe and healing for me to touch into the truth of who I am and throw off the chains that bind me to anything else.
Yes.
All right.
Maybe that bind me to anything less than love.
Less than love. Okay, that's a good.
Yeah. So that I could stand in the face, you know, the belief is somebody's raging at me, so I have to feel sad and afraid and rage back at them. And that becomes mm-hmm. like the piece of glass in the door. Whereas who told me that if somebody's standing raging at me, I can't just smile and hold the space of love for them?
Right.
The only difference is what do I hold in my mind?
Or walk away, right?
Or walk away. Or walk closer and offer a hug. You know, someone was sharing with me yesterday, you know, Michael Coughlin had come up to help us. He and his bride, Margaret, came up to help us with Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing section, or the Still Point Breathing that we did this past week. And he was sharing quite a bit of what was going on. And Sarah, who's handling the food, and she's her dad on the hotel, and she's really digging in and doing some work. But she was saying yesterday that, well, how do you hold that kind of a space? And she was at one of the intensives where a really deep fit of rage out of old military training came up for Michael. And how, instead of, you know, Michael's 6.5, I could probably tie both his hands very firmly behind his back and he could still, you know, whip me in an instant. It'd be no effort for him whatsoever. And it was like the question she was asking is like, well, but he's in this rage and he's raging at you and you simply walk straight into him, you know, 4 or 5 inches shorter than he is, and you put your arms around him and hug him. How do you do that? Well, you do that because you don't have anything else in your mind. And as human beings, we're not designed to have anything else but love in our minds. And the only piece of glass we're going to face is the one that's been structured into our minds from either our own environmental experiences or the experience of our ancestors through our genes. And the whole process of forgiveness is about shattering the glass, walking through it.
That's a vivid
definitely,
picture, very painted.
Process. Yeah. Yeah, this thing, I mean, I don't know who it was that put this post up on Facebook with the dog, but it's just such a, you know, it's 2 minute, short, sweet, very simple visual example of how we buy into limitations that don't exist. I'll jump on the website or on you know, if anybody wants to go to JM_Rice and send us a friend request to listen to the show, do that. But I'll get on the website sometime in the next day or so, or on Facebook, and I'll go find that one. Or you can just go to that one and just run down the list, and you'll see this video of this fellow with his dog. It's just such a cool demonstration of the principle. So our call-in number is 646-200-4169. We would love to hear your voice. If there's anything we can do to support you, if you have a question about anything that we're talking about or that we're not talking about, we'd love to hear from you. If you're in the phone queue and you push 1, that'll put a little hand up and Michelle will be able to see that you want to talk and she'll introduce you by your area code. Any thoughts for you, Dr. Tim?
I would strongly recommend that people view that video. I have seen it.
It's so cool.
Well, and as you were talking about it, I was hoping you would go exactly where you went with it, because that's part of what motivated my conversation yesterday at the beginning of this the internet show. And if I can see it at deeper and deeper levels, how I am literally creating what I experience, that there isn't a glass door, that it's only my belief in that door or my belief that someone or something outside me has caused my upset, then it opens the possibility for me to relate to the world differently, for me to clear up the pain I'm in. I'm not a victim of anyone or anything outside of me causing my experience. The deeper I get that, the more options I have. And as I was listening to you talk, hoping you would go exactly where you did, I kept seeing the dog refusing to go through the door and the man stepping through the door and trying to say, come on, and he wouldn't move until he opened the frame. It's a beautiful piece. And it's a great visual to go with that, the internal experience of doing a worksheet in the privacy of my own office or in a support group and realizing that all of the pieces that I outline in the top part of the worksheet that my mind has told me these are the reasons I'm feeling this anger, fear, or sadness, none of them change, and yet 15 or 20 minutes later at the end of the worksheet, I feel completely differently. And every time I do that, I prove to myself that there isn't a glass in the door, that there's no door there at all, that there's nothing outside of me, as Lenore Bragg would say, there is no out there. There's only an in right. here, and if it leaves me feeling anything other than love, it's false.
Exactly.
Great exactly. stuff.
Yep.
Great
cool.
visual.
And I'm looking through my Facebook posts as we speak to see if I can come across that. And we'll repost it so it'll be easy for people. Oh, there it is. So I'm just getting ready to peer. It's interesting. It's got over 5 million views. So.
Well, we all see ourselves in it without even realizing it.
So I'm posting again with what limits us that isn't even there. So anybody wants to take a look at that video, it's pretty cool. It's a 2-minute thing, but cool. So anybody with a hand up there, young lady?
No, not right now. I got a visitor in the chat room, and so finally I've got some company here. I asked, do you have any questions you want me to share with them? And, oh, well, he says, I don't have anything pressing, but I was wondering what Dr. Rice's take is on self-sabotage.
Well, my input on self-sabotage would be, you know, it's interesting. There's one language on the planet that I know of that has built into it a suffix that tells us when something unconscious is controlling our perceptions, decisions, and behaviors. And in Aramaic, if you add the suffix OOTA to a word, that tells you that something that's firing in brain cells from the unconscious level is controlling perception, decisions, and behaviors. All three things, perception, decisions, and behaviors. And so I call those UTA brain cells. And so someone who, you know, I'm moving forward in this awesome way in my life, but has UTA brain cells that contain, I don't deserve it, there's something wrong with me, I should be punished, I should be limited, you know, I can't have something. It's kind of like the glass that isn't in the door. I can't have something because somebody else doesn't have it, and I'm selfish if I do. There are a whole myriad of unconscious dynamics that would have us holding back from ourselves that which is designed for us to have. And so, you know, to recognize that one of the greatest gifts we can give the world is the gift of abundance. And then, of course, to utilize that abundance to serve humanity becomes another piece of the puzzle. But if I have an unconscious dynamic, UTA brain cells that say I'm supposed to live in poverty, then until I allow myself to touch into that and resolve that poverty, then all the abundance in the world could be trying to rush into my space, and it's going to disappear. I'll walk toward it, and I'll self-sabotage. I'll find a way to block it from my awareness so that I can't have it. And, of course, the whole idea of the forgiveness process, as it was taught in the first century Aramaic language, was here's a tool with which to capture the content of those UTA brain cells consciously and remove it so that the blocks are removed. So there are many, many dynamics, I think, that lead people to self-sabotage. They would be a few of them. In each case, if I find myself saying, well, I want to go here and live here, but I'm creating something totally different, then that would be the place to take a worksheet and work on that worksheet to let go of and move through whatever that dynamic is that's unconscious and that we use to sabotage ourselves. That would be my take on that topic. Does that make sense to our person that's asking in the chat room, and any other questions on it or refinements on it?
Well, not right now, but we'll see if there's a reply. It made sense to me. That was good. And nobody has a hand up, so we've got time to listen more or take a caller.
So 646-200-4169, if you're out there and you're listening and you're not putting your hand up because, oh, you know, my voice might be shaky or I might not sound good on the radio or my voice sounds funny or I can't speak in public, we'll just ask you to take a breath and let go of all of those thoughts, forgive those thoughts, and just bring forward your question. And sometimes people don't ask questions because they think, well, my question's so basic. You know, I just started doing this, so I don't even know what questions to ask. Oftentimes, the questions from a total newbie are some of the most powerful questions because they take us back to the things that we've forgotten that we once knew that maybe now are just left out of the equation. And oftentimes, for someone who's hit a ceiling and they are, you know, they're at a plateau and they just can't seem to get any further with their work, oftentimes it's going to be one of the most basic things that they've forgotten that they need to go back and deal with. So those very basic questions are all important to the process. And so if you've got one and you're in the phone queue, if you push one, a little hand will go up and Michelle will introduce you by your area code.
Well, the person in the chat room came back after you shared your insights and said, absolutely,
right.
It makes total sense. They say, I just got out of a meeting with my boss. I am undergoing disciplinary action at work, and she was asking me about my mental health well-being and then asked me if I was sabotaging myself. So they really appreciate the insight, and I suspect it's like news you can use, and they'll process that. And we do have somebody with a hand up, so let's go to that if that's okay with you.
Let's go for it. Cool.
All right, area code 863. I've turned on your mic.
Hi, it's Carolyn in Sebring.
Hey, young lady, welcome.
Thank you. I keep giving other people chances to press one. I don't want to be the only one from 863 that ever calls in. But our group last evening, and it has downsized some, but it is also making it easier to share in a smaller group. You know, things that go on in your life that maybe you don't want the whole world to know, but now I'm telling you around the whole world. But
right.
I just want to thank you. I think I really don't have a question per se today, but I just want to thank you, and I do encourage them to call in because it's such a valuable, wonderful tool that we have at our fingertips, and I just want to thank you for continuing to do this.
Well, our commitment is to keep it moving forward until it's in the hands of every mind, heart, and being on the planet. So we appreciate the fact that you initiated and are part of that support group that's bringing it forward and making it available, because it's, you know, the more minds that integrate the ideas, the more powerfully the energy appears on Earth, and therefore the more minds can be touched by it and opened by it. So it's pretty cool. It's pretty sweet.
It is. It is way cool. So thank you very, very much. Have a blessed day. I'm
delighted,
sure I'll
Carolyn.
Think of other things to open up as we go along, but I just appreciate all of you being there.
Cool. Fabulous. And give everybody in the support group a hug for me.
I sure will. I'll make that my priority Monday evening.
Okay. Blessings. All right.
Thank you. Right back at you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
So if anybody happens to be in the Sebring, Florida area, that was Carolyn from Sebring Unity, and we just spent a week there just a few weeks ago. And so if you're in the Sebring area, there's an awesome facility that has just a really sweet group of people. The minister is Andy Conyers, and he is someone that we met way back in Atlanta, back in the early days of doing this work. He was actually the administrator at Unity in Sarasota, and then he went and got his training, and it's just created a really sweet group of people there. So if you happen to be in Sebring, go check in on Unity of Sebring. And beyond that, 646-200-4169. If you're in the phone queue and you push 1, you'll be talking to us. Michelle? Anything happening in the chat room? Anybody with a hand up? We got about, I think, 10 minutes or so left, so we've got room for a conversation or two. And, you know, one of the self-sabotages that I often see people do is on the show is that they'll wait until the last 45 seconds. They'll have time to ask their question. It takes a half a minute to ask it. And then we've got 15 seconds to close the show up, and there's no room to talk. So, you know, we've got time for conversations and questions. If you've got one, don't wait till the last minute. Ask now. Go for it, Michelle. Michelle, do you have somebody with a question or hand up? Did we lose you, Michelle? Did you lose me? Dr. Tim, are you still with us?
You are there, Michael.
Oh, good. Okay.
Michael, I hung up on myself.
I've done that.
So, nobody has a hand up other than mine, so I could find my number to turn on a mic. Since in the absence of any callers right now, I'll just share this little insight I had. Well, it was more like an experience. On Friday night, I went to my daughter's track meet, and she's in high school, you know, and actually, you know, from Heartland this past summer, she created a new personal record on her pole vaulting. She went from 8 feet to 8 feet, 6 inches last week, and I said, oh, I can't wait to tell Michael how you're improving. So she's
really cool.
Working hard. It is, because it's not your skills or your strength, it's your mindset, really, I think, in a lot of those sports. So I was at the track meet, and I was talking to the father of one of their kids pole vaulting, and this his son pole vaulted, and he missed, and he finally made it. And we were both so excited, so he goes to the mat to congratulate his son, and then they walk over to another woman on the other side of the track, and the three of them were huddled, and I looked over, and I'm like, oh, that's so nice, you know, the parents and the son, and they were congratulating. I hadn't noticed his wife was there earlier. So he comes back, and we're standing and watching more kids, and I look, and I said, hey, where did your wife go? And he goes, my wife's not here. I go, yeah, I just saw her. I saw you walk over after he made the jump. And he goes, no, that was you know, Karen. And I was just absolutely dumbfounded, because my expectation that the husband would join the wife to congratulate the son created the face of this woman. Because I even remember thinking, oh, is that the wife? Oh yeah, that's her dimple. Oh yeah, that's her smile. That's her crow's feet and her eyes. Sherry's here. And it was, and then when he told me it wasn't, and I looked, and the face was completely different. It was Karen. And I mean, I knew what was happening, but it was so magical, almost like I was turning a dial on a TV. And literally, I saw who I saw, I know, and it was not that person. And it was just, it made me laugh inside, but I was like, wow, it's so true. We do this all the time, 24/7. We're doing this, and it's it was a cool reminder to remember that you can't really trust what you're seeing and believing. It's in that theme of the glass door, sliding door.
Right. Yes. Yeah. I you remind me of an occasion when there was someone at Heartland and they were staying in one of the buildings, and one of their fears is critters, animals, and so she went out to the kitchen to get a drink of water, and over in the corner on the kitchen counter saw this huge rat and just went screaming, raging back to her room, and scared as scared can be. And we just don't seem to have rats at Heartland, but that was kind of strange. In the morning when she went out, that brown towel was still there on the counter. It's the towel that somebody left on the counter, but her brain turned it into a rat. That's what triggered them. It's interesting. I can remember several years ago, I was traveling with someone out west, and I didn't know what a mirage was. I'd never seen a mirage. And if you've ever seen one, it's pretty cool, especially when the mirages collapse. It kind of fits with that whole thing about the door that isn't there. We're driving along. It's a hot day. We're in the desert. And the person I'm driving with says, well, you see those mountains over there? Well, that's a mirage. I said, what do you mean it's a mirage? How do you know? I said, well, it just is. And so I'm watching, and there's this mountain range. And all of a sudden, we get closer, closer, closer to the mountain range. And literally, just like you would imagine a piece of glass shattering and the pieces falling out of the window, this mountain range, just like that, collapsed and disappeared. It's like, wow, that's pretty cool. And then as I started to look at it and realize what was going on, what I realized was that, just like the mind fills in the blind spot that each of us has in each of our eyes, the mind sees a mountain range off in the distance, and there's heat rising off of the desert, and the mind says, well, that must be a mountain range. And so literally creates a picture, perception of something that is there. We see that mirage, a construct in the mind of something that is not there to stimulate the construct. There's no mountain range there to fire those brain cells. All that's there is this heat rising up off the desert. So it was an interesting lesson to be able to see that and to watch it as it collapsed, as it just disappeared. It was pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Ever seen a mirage, Dr. Tim?
Yes, I have, and it's just as you describe. It's, if you're not tuned into that mechanism of the mind, it's quite shocking. The first few times it happened, and then my brother and I were on a river with a guide, and we were absolutely certain that this ripple we saw in the river was some kind of a large animal, fish or turtle or whatever, and the guide said no. We said, no, look. And so the guide humored us and went over to this thing. And the closer we got, the more certain we were, until it just absolutely, as you said, just collapsed.
Yeah, what amazed me is I could see this thing fall apart. It just, broke into pieces and dropped and disappeared. It was just like, whoa, that's so cool.
Well, and Course in Miracles is telling us, and Way of Mastery tells us, that everything about our perception is that same way when it ends up leaving us feeling less than loving. And that's a real deep lesson to get into.
Yes, and all of it can be collapsed. All of it can be forgiven. And so we're, this has been a fast hour. Once again, we're down to the last few seconds, so we're going to close the show out. And we just hold the space for everybody to take the tools, put them to work, share them with somebody, bring a stranger to the show tomorrow, and create the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com. Sleep.